I have loved learning about saints since I was a very young child. The characters I found in the Bible, the ones I saw in stained glass windows, I learned about in Sunday school. And the really, really great thing about saints is that they have their very own saint cards. Remember saint cards? If you've been in Europe, you know you've seen them. And when the nuns from St. Helena's convent from Augusta would come and visit us in the summertime in my home parish, they would bring and distribute saint cards to all of us. A saint card's about the size of a credit card. On one side's the image of the person being represented, and on the back side, some facts about their life, maybe a prayer to that saint. They're like religious baseball cards, right? Although I doubt many of them ever get traded. I thought about these saintly persons as super Christians, you know, the spiritual versions of Superman and Wonder Woman. I still have a few of these cards in my prayer book at home. I pulled one out and laid it on my desk to bring, but alas, I forgot it. In my hometown parish, we also celebrated this feast with as much enthusiasm as we did Christmas. The kids in the lower school and church school would dress up like saints that would process in behind the choir and fill the chancel where at the end of the first hymn, we would all begin to sing, "I sing a song of the saints of God." Remember that? A woman wrote that hymn for children, but it was so stirred the imagination of adults that it had quickly become a favorite hymn of Episcopalians of all ages. I sing a song of the saints of God, patient and brave and true, who toiled and fought and lived and died for the Lord they loved and knew. And one was a doctor, and one was a queen, and one was a shepherdess on the green. And they were all of them saints of God, and I mean God helping to be one too. And one was a soldier, and one was a priest, and one was killed by a fierce wild beast, and there's not any reason, no, not the least, why I shouldn't be one too. The wonderful thing about this song is that it reminds us that saints are not just super Christians. As wonderful as those people have been and whose stories encourage us, today is called All Saints Day, not just a few good saints day. And almost from the beginning of the church, we began remembering these people who went before us in the faith. So what makes a saint a saint? It's not a very easy question to answer. The word saint appears 62 times in the New Testament and 44 times St. Paul used that word. Most often he was referring to congregations just like us, or individual members just like us, the faithful. We call people in the New Testament saints like Matthew and Mark, Mary and Martha, Peter and Paul. And over time, people whose lives were examples of how to follow Jesus, well, they joined the list too. Benedict, Teresa Avila, Mother Teresa, Oscar Romero, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. As Episcopalians, we continue to honor holy women and holy men, and we add their names to the list, and we tell their stories over and over again. Now, I've given you some examples of who gets on the list, but I haven't really answered the question about what makes a saint a saint. And there are likely as many qualities of saints as there are saints themselves. I began to think this past week of what I think makes a saint a saint. Steadfastness, courage, faithfulness, love, patience, bravery, honesty, hopefulness, forbearance. It's a word we don't use very much. St. Paul tells us that baptism is the starting point of sainthood, that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus become holy ones. Baptism is the beginning of a journey of developing what he will call, in another letter, the fruit of the Spirit. The very characteristics of what we're supposed to be learning how to live into as Christians. The author of Revelation, who we read a part of that lesson this morning, says it this way, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them.'" We are saints, not because of anything we've done, but simply because God chooses to be among us and within us, and because God loves us. Even though God knows that eventually we're going to do things that will disappoint God, and disappoint ourselves, and disappoint our community. The inclination of God to see our fullest potential is the very definition of grace. That God's gift of God's self to us in love makes a saint a saint. All Saints is also a reminder of God's willingness to use regular, flawed human beings to do extraordinary, even divine things. Ordinary people like you and me who are motivated by faith in a loving God to perform acts of love that make God's peaceable kingdom a reality wherever we are, wherever we live. I've just returned from 2 weeks in Italy. As my traveling companions and I are prone to do on these trips we make together, we visited a lot of churches dedicated to a lot of saints, people I had never even heard of before. But I'm wondering this morning, who were the ordinary folks who've shown you how to be Christian? So I wonder if you might close your eyes for just a moment and think about those people who've shown you the way of Jesus. Parents, godparents, grandparents, maybe an aunt or an uncle, Sunday school teachers, coaches, neighbors, co-workers, people who you didn't even know, but you saw something in them that made you want to follow Jesus more closely. Who are those in your life who you give thanks for on this All Saints Day? These are people who may not be enshrined in stained glass or printed on a saint card, but they are nonetheless a saint. This morning, the parents and godparents presented Reed, Harper, Dean, and Kennedy to become our newest brothers and sisters in Christ as we baptize them in that holy font at the door. They become the newest saints in God's kingdom. They were buried and raised with Christ as new creations. They were sealed and marked with the Holy Spirit to become God's children forever. And they joined us in this community that's committed to making God's love known to the world. Now, they will learn how to do this mission of loving the world by coming to church and participating in the sacraments and coming to Sunday school and studying the scriptures. But everyone who was here at 9 o'clock made a promise to support them in their life in Christ, to be living examples of how to follow Jesus. You weren't here to see them, but your lives are the examples they need in order to learn what it means to be a Christian. It's a daunting fact that we make a promise at every baptism to do that work. A promise that we will need to take seriously. And one day I hope that Reed or Harper or Dean or Kennedy will sit in a church like this and they'll close their eyes and they will remember one of us who showed them the way to be like Jesus. The world is becoming increasingly more fractured and more divided, the human family more alienated one from another. So we need little ones to join us in creating a community that sets aside differences and embraces the other, to be like Jesus in love in real, tangible ways, as the people will do who create sandwiches and take down to Church of the Common Ground today. By creating a world where community overturns division, where forgiveness replaces hostility, where love conquers hate. In the gospel reading this morning, Jesus weeps for his friend Lazarus. Moved by compassion, he speaks a word of life in the face of sorrow and death. This is what we're called to do. This is what the little ones who got presented this morning are called to do, to become part of a community of compassion and grace, to bring love and life where we find destruction and death. When I arrived last weekend back in this country, I was faced immediately with the reality of the shootings of two African Americans in a convenience store and 11 Jewish Americans murdered as they gathered to worship God, just like we're doing today, in a place not unlike the place where we sit. How do we speak love and life where we find destruction and death? The voice from the throne proclaims, "See, I am making all things new." God's calling us to create a community from every tribe and every nation and every people to be a family, a human family, where race and creed, gender and class, sexuality, where every human division our minds can create, give way to love. What makes a saint a saint? Might it be as simple as choosing to love as often as we can, in as many ways as we can, loving as many people, as many human beings made in God's image as we can? Because sainthood is not really about becoming super at spirituality. It's about allowing ourselves to be transformed and made new over and over and over and over again, until we look and act like Jesus. And as amazing as that sounds, as daunting as that sounds, we can all do just that. That hymn that I started with ends with this verse. They live not only in ages past, there are hundreds of thousands still. The world is bright with the joyous sounds of those who do Jesus' will. You can meet them in school, or in planes, or at sea, in church, even in church, or in trains, or in shops, or at tea. For the saints of God are just folk like us, and we can mean to be ones too. Amen.